Well, happy Monday and welcome to the Life After 50 show. I'm Catherine Watson and I'm your host. So today we're going to be talking to a life coach, a life and career coach. We're going to be talking about a subject that I know is going to strike a chord with a lot of our listeners here. It's never too late to change your career. So a lot of you, when you reach your 50s, maybe late 40s, 50s, 60s, things start changing in your life. You may be forced out of a career. You weren't planning on leaving, but it happened. Or you may just decide that the career that you have spent the last however many years is just not working for you anymore. And you're ready for a change. You're ready for something different. This lady is the lady you need to talk to because she can help. So I'm going to be bringing up in just a moment, Kitty Voitnot. She's a former educator, and she's now a heart-centered career transition and job search coach. She specializes in coaching, counseling, and advising people just like you who are burned out on their many career options. And she has a proven system that will show you how to reignite your passion and redirect your skills to experience a new fulfilling career. So I'm going to go ahead and bring Kitty up to the show. She's got tons of stuff to tell us today. Great information, and I know it's going to be a good help. Hi, Kitty. Welcome to
the show. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Is there anything else that I left out that you want to tell people about you and your background?
Nope, that's perfect. I was a teacher and librarian for over 30 years. And when that career came to an end, I decided that I wanted to help mid-career professionals and teachers who have hit the burnout stage and are eager to find some new way to earn a living and make a life.
And that's the key, is making a life, isn't it, Kitty?
Yes,
we were talking about that earlier. You know, you hit a certain stage in your life and you realize that it's more than just about making the dollars. You do need the dollars, but it's about making a life. It's about really living your passion, what you're interested in.
Right, exactly. And for some people, they've lost their passion or they've lost sight of what their passion was in their early life. They've put that concern aside so that they could make a living and pay the bills and support their family, which is all important. You have to do that. But they have gotten to the point of losing touch with who they are and what makes them uniquely different from everybody else. And I think by the time we hit our mid-40s and well into our 50s, the thinking changes. It's not so much about just dealing with the day-to-day concerns of making a living, but it's about what kind of legacy are we going to leave? And what difference will our having been here make to somebody and to the world? And so we begin to search for ways to leave a lasting impact, whether it's through our work or through a side hobby where we can fully express ourselves. And sometimes we can make those hobbies full-time work endeavors if we just know how to do it.
Mm-hmm. Kitty, what would you say to someone who just lost their job and maybe they have worked at that job for 20 or 30 years and suddenly they found themselves without a job and no real direction? They don't really know what to do next.
Right.
And that the industry maybe that they're in, they're only hiring the younger people and like they've been bypassed.
Right.
What would you say to someone like that?
That happens far more than people are probably aware of, unless it has actually happened to you or someone that you know. the economy has changed and companies or corporations are merging and eliminating certain positions and departments, which means that in some cases, people who've been with the same company for 20 or 30 years are suddenly told, we don't need your services anymore. And suddenly they're out and they don't know exactly where to turn. So what I tell people is that there are three very specific concerns that they need to think about. The first one is to spend a fair amount of time before doing anything, a fair amount of time thinking about what they've accomplished in their previous career and how they can use what they've learned from that career in a different endeavor that they might really enjoy, that might light them up and make them feel like, yeah, this is what I'm supposed to be doing now. And it's interesting that when I ask people, if I were to give you a magic wand and tell you that you could wave that wand one time and have the job, the career, the life of your dreams, what would that entail? And only 2 out of 100 people can tell me without hesitating. And I my own theory about that is that we just haven't given ourselves the chance to think deeply about what is it that we really want. So my advice to someone who is suddenly in the midst of a career transition is to really get to know themselves, do some serious self-reflection and self-assessment, read for inspiration, do some journaling, go into meditation and prayer for direction. And whatever it is for them to do is probably, I think, here somewhere in the core of who they are. And if they will listen to that inner voice, that inner wisdom, they will find their next path. It takes time, though. It's not like flipping a switch where you suddenly decide, oh, well, I've been going in this direction. Now I'm going in this direction. It does require a pivot, but it also requires changing the way you think about yourself, about what work is, and how you want to be able to manage work in the next phase of your career. So the number one thing is to consider, what is it that you want to do? The second thing I would tell them to do is to get up to speed and up to date about how to write a resume. The old traditional style resumes are no longer pertinent. They're not relevant. Younger HR directors and recruiters are not going to look at them because they look dated. So you need to learn how to update and streamline your resume. You need to know how to write a cover letter that people will actually read. Most people just simply regurgitate what's in their resume in the cover letter. And nobody reads that because they can see what you have to offer in the resume. If that's the cover letter you're going to write, I tell people, don't waste your time. Nobody's going to read it. But there is an approach to a cover letter that you can use to entice people and tease them with the idea that you have something to offer them. And they, if they're properly intrigued by the cover letter, they will want to know more. So they'll at least want a telephone interview. And so the cover letter can offer the bridge from the previous career to this next endeavor. And then finally, it's important to understand how to use all of the tools, whether it's resume as a tool, cover letters, LinkedIn, networking, how to put all that together and follow the up-to-date protocols. There are hidden rules of job search that if you've not looked for a job in the last 10 years, you're likely to shoot yourself in the foot and do harm to your job search and not even know that you've done it. So I think that warrants getting help, whether it's through your college or university career center, or here in my area, we have actually 2 job seeker groups that are free to attend. They provide excellent networking opportunities, but they also provide training for how to do some of this job search stuff. So seek out groups like that, get as much free help as you can, and if you can afford it and you would find it useful, find a career coach, someone who can advise you and you trust to give you the kind of advice you need for making that transition. The sooner you get that kind of help, the sooner you'll start making the change you want to make, and you'll not waste a lot of time and energy and money going down the various rabbit holes that are certainly out there for people to go down.
Excellent advice. Really excellent advice, Kitty. Thank you. You know, I noticed that you, however, did not choose another job path.
You chose
to go out on your own. So let's talk about that, because that may be an option for some people. And how does somebody know if that is the right option for them?
Right. Okay. So in my particular case, I left a job. I didn't lose a job. I was in a position where I was an elected officer of a large teachers organization in my state. And I was term limited. And in my case, I had plans to go back to my school district. I had taken a gamble that there would be a library for me to go back to. I was a school librarian for over 30 years. And for most of that time, I was an elementary librarian. But I had taken the gamble, and I didn't really care whether it was a middle school, high school, or elementary school. I come from a large enough district that I didn't think it would be a big gamble that there would be an opening for me when my terms at the VEA were over. As luck would have it, in the spring of 2012, none of my librarian colleagues were going anywhere, so there were no library openings. And the district called me in April of that year to say, we need to assign you for the fall, so that we can start hiring. We don't have any library openings, which I knew was true. So do you prefer high school or middle school English? Well, my heart sank. And I said, you know, I haven't taught English since 1980, right? And she said, I understand, but that's your other endorsement, which was true. So I said middle school. And then the minute I hung up the phone, I just burst into tears. Because I knew I didn't have the energy or the desire to teach middle school English. I had done that in my 20s, and I had not enjoyed it that much. Mm-hmm. It takes a special person.
It absolutely takes a special person. I agree.
And truly, by the spring of that last year that I was president of the VEA, I was exhausted mentally, physically, emotionally. And I knew I didn't have the resources that middle school children would need from me, and I wouldn't be able to do a good job. So I decided ultimately to take early retirement. I had not planned to retire. I was only 59 and a half when I made that decision, and I had planned to work to 66. But, you know, sometimes life doesn't work out the way you plan. So I decided for me, the best decision was to take that early retirement. Now, I did initially set out on a traditional job search, but by the time I did that, I had turned 60. And I became aware of the fact that maybe looking for a new position at the age of 60, when, as I've mentioned earlier, I had way more degrees and on paper looked oddly overqualified for just about anything I might have been interested in doing, and underqualified as far as work experience for anything else that I might have applied for. And so I was really sort of stuck, which is why I hired a career coach. And it took a little while for me to come to terms with the idea of becoming a coach, because frankly, my own personal bias was that coaching wasn't a real job. I was suspicious of the term life coach. I had never met one and didn't really understand what they did. So in my meditation and journaling and prayer, the idea of going into coaching to help other educators like myself who had grown too tired to continue to teach, that had other skills and not sure how to redirect them, the idea of coaching started to come up. And I first resisted it and then finally decided, with the advice of my career coach, to at least look into it, to not be so set against the idea. And it is almost uncanny how once I just gave myself permission to look into it, this whole path opened up like magic. Mm-hmm. And actually within 4 days of making the decision to give it a serious consideration, I met a life coach here in my town who told me that she had been doing it for 7 years. She'd been a life coach to women in their 50s for 6 years. She was part of a group of coaches who met here in my town once a month. It turns out they were an ICF group based here in Virginia. And it's truly, everything just sort of opened up. And so it seemed like to me what the logical path was, that this was what I was supposed to be doing. And here I am 6 years later, and I am convinced that this is exactly what I'm supposed to be doing right now.
And see, Kitty, to me, it was a perfect match for you. I mean, you're an educator.
Exactly.
Coaches are educators.
Right.
They help people. They educate people. They guide them. That's all the things that you have been doing your whole life.
Exactly.
So you just transitioned those talents and gifts that you already had. You just transitioned them into creating a new career for yourself.
Exactly.
That sustained you. And I bet there's a lot of things you like about working for yourself.
Oh, my goodness. Well, the main one is that I can set my own schedule and I don't have someone. I made a list of all the things that I did not want to do. And here's another irony. When you're in the midst of a career transition, you can make a list, 2 miles long of all the things you don't want to do again. Mm-hmm. But then figuring out what you do want is so much harder for some reason. Mm-hmm. So yes, I knew exactly. I did not want to work for somebody who was going to be micromanaging me all the time. I did not want to get up at O'Dark 100 to be somewhere that certainly didn't want to be driving 30 or 40 miles to a job.
Yeah.
So working for myself, creating my own schedule. As you say, I teach every day. I'm just teaching a different subject matter to a different group of students. Mm-hmm. And so, yes, it has turned into the perfect fit for me.
Yeah. And I bet you like the group of students that you're teaching to probably a bit better than you would have those middle-aged students. your middle-aged students are better than the middle-grade
students.
That
is so true. In fact, while we were waiting to go on, I got an email from one of my newer clients, and I just love her. She is the ideal client. Eager and coachable and ready for this change. She's not in her 40s yet, but she's just so open to taking the coaching that's being offered to her. So I love that. Love that.
Yeah. So, when we talked about doing this show, I was really excited because, like I said, I know so many people who are in this situation either by default because it happened to them or because they've just reached a stage where they're going, why am I doing this? Why do I keep beating my head against the wall doing this job over and over that I'm clearly not happy doing? And I love some of the direction that you've given us on the call. I'd like to just kind of go over some of the things that we talked about to kind of recap.
Sure.
We talked about the first step, deciding what you want to do. And that's, I think, huge. That is just
huge, and it's the hardest.
It's the hardest.
In fact, I've had two clients in their 60s recently who have struggled with that question more even than some of my younger clients. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if it's because they worked in their first career for so long and have just had trouble imagining doing anything else, mm-hmm. or exactly what the problem is. But both of them are right at 60, mm-hmm. and they have the option of doing anything in the world that they want. And they have each, in their own individual way, struggled with trying to identify their passion, identify a way that they can create a path for themselves. And so that is the number one challenge. Mm-hmm. And that's why I recommend that people do some inner work. Do as many self-assessments, like the Myers-Briggs. You can get an inexpensive version of that online, the StrengthsFinder 2.0. I offer a pathway planner assessment mm-hmm. that helps people. But, you know, there are plenty of free and low fee opportunities to just learn about yourself. And you may not learn anything new, but it'll validate what you already know and mm-hmm. perhaps offer some direction as to what you want to do next.
Right. And I agree with that. But on one hand, I've also seen some people that get so obsessed with taking these tests and they're taking hundreds of them, and they're not going anywhere. And the procrastination thing I see a lot with people. And I think it's because of fear. What do you think?
Absolutely.
Yeah. It's fear of the unknown.
Right. One of the bonuses that goes along with my program is called Courage, Risks, mm-hmm. and Rewards. Mm-hmm. And it's intended to help create the mindset of what is it that you're most afraid of and mm-hmm. what are you willing to do to address those fears. So that mm-hmm. then as you approach the actual job search part of the program, you're not letting you're aware at least of those fears, those concerns that might otherwise hold you back, and you can address them, and it helps people to move forward. That was the message that my client just sent, that she had finished the Courage part of the program and had found it very helpful.
Absolutely. I can see where that would be hugely helpful because a lot of times too, when you express what the fear is, it's not quite as scary as it was when you just kept it inside.
In some cases, it disappears. It's a matter of getting it out there. You know, and that's another reason to get a coach, is to brainstorm and get some of these ideas that are rambling around in your head out so that you can see, is that a viable path or is that something that probably wouldn't work out? Which of the things that you're drawn to are likely to work out for you? And having somebody to talk that out with is huge. And it truly can't be a spouse or a sibling or a best friend, because they all have their own biases about what they think you should do.
Well, they're invested in your future.
Exactly.
They're invested and they want the best for you.
Sure.
But they don't know what you know and what you want always. It helps to have somebody that is totally non-judgmental.
Exactly.
They don't have the history with you. They don't have the bias. They can look at things through a clear lens.
Right.
And then your family and friends can't look at it through a clear lens because they know your past.
Yeah. Yeah. You need somebody who's objective mm-hmm. and who doesn't have any skin in the game.
Yeah. Exactly.
Other than they want what's best for you as mm-hmm. as the individual.
Yeah. So you talked about rebranding yourself personally and professionally.
Yes.
That's a huge step as well.
It is. It's part of that mindset. You know, we, especially in the United States, I really don't know about other places, but it seems like it's part of our social conditioning. that we identify ourselves with what we do. Mm-hmm. And that's why whenever you go to a party or a networking event, you're meeting someone brand new, after your name, the next question that usually pops up is, and what is it that you do? And part of it is they want to know a little bit about the work that you do, but it's also part of their own process of pigeonholing and putting you in a particular compartment. And so if you're the CEO of a 500 Fortune company, that might give the listener a little bit different impression from, oh, I'm a kindergarten teacher. This is an example. So when we're no longer those things, the CEO of a Fortune 500 company, or even a kindergarten teacher, we struggle. Mm-hmm. Who are we if we're not those things? And we have to find new ways to identify ourselves. And so that's part of the mindset change that has to go along with this whole process. It's part of, I call it rebranding. You know, just like Coca-Cola periodically goes through a rebranding process. Mm-hmm. You know, Wendy's just recently started doing a new facade on their building as part of their branding.
Right.
Individuals have personal and professional brands.
Yeah.
You can change them, but it takes time. It takes time for you to consider yourself differently, and it also takes time for other people to start thinking of you differently. Mm-hmm. So it's very, very important, but it's also sometimes difficult.
Right, right. And Kitty, I'm sorry, but I'm looking at the time, and we are fast running out of time. I want to make sure that people can connect with you. Mm-hmm. So let me put your web site address up here. Mm-hmm. And understand, everybody, that Kitty works with all types of professionals. She loves working with teachers, of course, because that's her background. Mm-hmm. But she's worked with lots of other types of professionals also. Mm-hmm. Her website, teachersintransition.com. Again, that's teachersintransition.com. And you can go to the website, find out more about Kitty, what she does, how she does it. You can also connect with her on LinkedIn. That's where I first met Kitty. We both love LinkedIn and use LinkedIn. I think it's a great career tool. We talked a little bit about that earlier. So get in touch with Kitty if you find yourself in this situation where you're not sure what to do next and it's time for career change, whether you've been booted into it or you're just toying with the idea. Get in touch with Kitty. I guarantee you taking a few minutes, a few sessions to work with a career coach is going to make a huge difference in your ability to move forward and create a new life and finish off your life the way you want it to be.
Hey, Catherine, on that website, there are several free resources, including a stress assessment for people who are experiencing stress as a result of either their job or their career transition. So there's lots of freebies there.
Great, great. Again, thank you so much for being on the show today. We really appreciate it. And I'm going to go ahead and let Kitty go back down into the lobby.
Thank you.
And this is the Life After 50 show. This was a great show with Kitty. I know there's a lot of you out there that need the help of a career coach. So I really encourage you to reach out to her. Life After 50 is a show that I have created for the Find Houston Senior Care Web Directory site. And we show up with different people each week. So we bring you all kinds of experts in different kinds of fields. We're going to be bringing on Elizabeth Hilbin with the Hilbin Law Firm to talk about blended families and what you need to know about that. We will be bringing on a financial advisor who's going to help people who are getting into the retirement age and maybe they don't have all their ducks in a row and they need some help figuring out what to do next. We're going to bring on somebody from the Alzheimer's Association. So we just have a variety of guests. I encourage you to come back, join the show, make your comments below, and ask any questions. I'll be sure to get them to the right person to answer. Have a great day. Again, this is Catherine Watson with the Life After 50 Show. Thanks so much.